You have your Bibles and like to turn there with me. I'll be reading this morning from Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. Matthew 22, 37 through 40. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
It may be the most important word in the English language, but love may also be the most understood or misunderstood concept that we talk about today. I really believe that there is nothing more important than love. If we took love out of our lives, what would be left? And yet, as you listen to people talk today, you wonder if we really understand what love really means. Those who are involved in fulfilling their lust many times will talk about it as making love. Is that making love? Sometimes a young teenager who has just become awestruck with a young man seems to be living in a fantasy world, and someone will say, oh, just overlook her, she's in love. And you wonder if even then we understand the full concept of love. Sometimes parents will say, especially in our day and time, I just cannot punish my child because I love him too much. You begin to wonder if there is really an understanding of love. Back a few years ago, there was a book written called Love Story, and a film was made from it. I believe Allie McGraw was one of the actresses in it. The theme of that book and that film was that love means never having to say I'm sorry. I don't know of any theme that is more contrary to the Word of God than that. And yet that seems to be the attitude that so many people have today, that we ought not to criticize anything because we ought to love people. We ought not try to correct faults in the lives of others because we love them. Is that really love? Or is that a kind of tolerance that may go contrary to the concept of love? As we are involved in lessons where we are emphasizing what's written in red, what Jesus said, I want us to think about the subject of love this morning and really look at some of the passages where Jesus spoke on the subject and see if we can have a little better understanding of not only how important it is, but also what it is and what it is to be in our lives. Jesus placed a great deal of emphasis on love in the passage that Tim just read. In fact, he said, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And the two commandments had to do with the love that we have for God and the love that we have for each other. Jesus was saying, if you take into consideration all that was said in the law of Moses, not just the Ten Commandments, which gave the skeleton outline of what was involved, but all the detailed commandments given relative to life itself. And if you take into consideration everything that's said in the prophets about God's instruction to His people concerning how to live and His teaching to them about what would take place even in the future and the fulfillment of all of that, He said, if you take all of these things, the law and the prophets, they hang on commandments that have to do with love. Understand Jesus to be saying in that passage that everything that we do in life, in a sense, is associated with the subject of love. Jesus placed a great deal of emphasis on the love of God. I suppose that more people in the audience this morning can quote John 3:16 than any other verse, save Jesus wept. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Concentrate especially on the first part of that verse. God so loved that He gave. Jesus is emphasizing the great love that God has had for mankind. And I'm not for sure there's one of us here this morning who really understands the depths of that. I'm not really sure that the human mind is capable of understanding all the depths of the love that God has had and continues to have for us. And yet we should be able to comprehend it enough to appreciate it. God loved us and He gave. He did something for us. In the prayer that Jesus prayed, recorded in John 17, after He had emphasized the oneness of Himself and His Father, those that were following Him and would come after their teachings in verses 20 and 21, He went ahead in verse 23, particularly referring to the apostles, but perhaps also to those that would follow after them, and He says, "Thou hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me," as He was talking to His Father. Jesus was the only begotten Son of God, God Himself in heaven with God. And I think it is not necessary that we take the time to emphasize how much God loved His only begotten Son. He, time and time again, would say, "This is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." It's just evident throughout the entirety of the Scriptures how much He loved His only begotten Son. Jesus says, "Thou hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me." Jesus placed a great deal of emphasis upon the love that God has for us. And folks, we ought not to take that love for granted. But He also placed a great deal of emphasis upon the love that we are to have for God. He emphasized it here in this passage in Matthew 22. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind." Luke's account says, "with all thy strength." Jesus was emphasizing to us that in order to really receive the love of God as we should, we must be willing to turn around and send our love in the direction of God. It goes without saying, I think, that we are not capable of loving on the same level that God does. We're not capable of showing the extent of love that God has been able to show. But even in our limited way as human beings, Christ is saying that we need to realize how important it is to love God. And there may not be a more important subject given in the Bible relative to our relationship to God than the subject of love. But Jesus also emphasizes, as He talks about the love you and I are to have in our hearts, how important it is for us to love one another. He even says in John 13, 34, and 35 that this is a mark of discipleship. It is sad, I think, that sometimes this passage is abused to indicate that it is the only mark of fellowship and relationships within Christ. There are those sometimes who will read this passage and say, "See, here is how you know if one's a Christian, if he has love for other people." If you'll just think about it, there are other passages like John 8:31, "If you keep My word, then are you My disciple indeed," and other passages that say about the same thing and bring in other ideas. But although it is not the only one, it is such an important concept in our relationships with one another. Jesus is saying, how can we claim to be His followers if we do not love one another? How can we harbor feelings of hate or even just a blah type feeling trying to go neither way in our relationships with each other and then claim to be followers of Jesus Christ? He said one of the key marks of discipleship is that ye love one another. He placed emphasis upon the love from God to man. He emphasized the love that man is to have for God. And then He especially emphasized the love that we are to have for one another. There is suggested in these last few verses, I think, the idea that there are different types of love and different levels of love. And Jesus seemed to address this. Maybe sometimes we don't see this. Or maybe at least we don't think about it as we ought. You will remember, I'm sure, that in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said at 5:44 in Matthew, "Love your enemies." It's not an easy commandment, but it's a commandment nevertheless. When you really think about that and the points that shall follow, the conclusion is that there is no one living but that we should love that person. Our love for our enemies is such that we ought to be interested in the person, interested in his soul, interested in what's best for him. Perhaps loving the enemy to the extent of wanting to make him a friend, trying to help in any way that we can, even if he's one who persecutes. is indicated in that same chapter. We are to love our enemies. But I believe Jesus emphasizes that there is another type of love, which is a higher level of love. And that's the love that we are to have for our neighbors and for our families. In Matthew 19:19, he said, "Honor thy father and thy mother, love thy neighbor as thyself." There is a type of love that we are to have just for our neighbors in the community. They may or may not be children of God, but we are to have a love for them, and we are to show that love in that we are to love them as we love ourselves. And indicated in that same verse is that there is to be a love in the family circle. That honor for father and mother would certainly include love for father and mother. And that love would be spread out for husband or wife or sons or daughters in the family situation. And I believe the Bible emphasizes in these passages that that kind of love is a higher level of love than the love that we are to have for our enemies. And then he says we are to love one another. Again, John 13:34. And here he's talking about in our relationship to Christ and those that are in Christ and those that will be his followers. He identifies the idea of discipleship in this passage. Maybe Jesus is saying, and this is not easily accepted, that there is a type of love that we are to have for each other in Christ that's even higher than the love that we have for each other in the ties that bind us of an earthly nature. Now, of course, if those in our families are Christians, these two tie together. And we can love our families and love our brothers and sisters in Christ at the same time and on the same level. But Matthew 10:37 says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." The very idea there that there is a more than kind of love indicated in this passage suggests again this idea of levels of love and kinds of love and types of love. One of the strongest ties that we have on this earth is the tie that we have in Christ Jesus. Perhaps when we sing that little song, "Blessed be the tie that binds," we don't often think about that in a sense the tie that binds us in the family of God is stronger than the tie that binds us in our earthly families. Because you see, when this life is over, those ties will cease. In heaven, we're neither married nor given in marriage, but the ties that we have in Christ as a part of his body and a part of his kingdom not only exist on this earth, but will exist for an eternity. And therefore, we ought to have a high level of love for one another in Christ, a love that will lead us to be of service and to care about one another and to share with one another, even as we do in the physical family, but even on a higher level. And then there is that love that we're to have for God that we've already discussed to some extent. And that's the highest level of love that we're to have. I'm to love my God more than my wife and my children. That's not easy. It's not easily accepted. But if there is to be a conflict between the love that I'm to have for my God and the love that I'm to have for my wife, my God is to come first. Because, you see, I'm to love my God supremely, without any limitations, without any questions. I believe I'm to love my wife with only one limitation, and that's my soul, my relationship to God. We're to love our God supremely, all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength. We're to love our families sacrificially if they'll let us love our God supremely. And we're to love our neighbors with an attitude of service if they will let us love our families sacrificially and our God supremely. And we are to love our enemies with an interest in them, not wishing them any ill will, but wanting to help. But folks, that love is not at the same level as the love for family and for neighbor and for Christian brethren and especially for God. And it's not easy sometimes to put all of this in focus and realize the way we are to love and the levels of love. It is easy when we have all our ducks in a row, when we have all of these things in a positive way. It's not so hard for you and me to love God and to love one another in a setting where the church is strong and where Christ is respected. It's not difficult for us to love God when we have families that encourage us and help us and neighbors that encourage and help us to love God, when we have all those loves together, it's somewhat easy. But if there is a conflict where the neighbor is not a Christian or one in the family is not a Christian, and especially one who doesn't love God and maybe who doesn't want you to really love God as you know you should, then there may be some conflicts. We have to keep these things in proper focus. But having said all of that, Jesus again emphasizes love in every level, in every relationship. And as you begin to understand that, perhaps we begin to understand a little bit more why he said, even the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments concerning love. If you love God and you love your fellow man as you should, he's sort of saying all these other things will fit in, or maybe better put, all these other things are a part of that, a part of that love for God and that love for your neighbor. But Jesus also makes a point that is extremely important for us to understand, and that is that love is more than just a feeling. Love is governed by some laws, and love, true love, demands some actions. It seems that there is a feeling today on the part of so many people that we ought to just preach and teach love and nothing else. And when they say that, they usually mean don't condemn anything, never say anything that's negative, don't disagree with anyone, just preach the idea of love. Yesterday, I had an opportunity to hear four excellent lessons concerning the work of the Lord. And in the last one was emphasizing how important it is for us to be in Christ and realize our relationship in Christ and go by His commandments. And he referred to one time that he read something in Ann Landers. He said this person wrote to Ann Landers and said, I am in love with two women. Neither one of them is my wife. What do you suggest I do? And don't give me any of that morality stuff. Ann Landers wrote back, and this is one time I could completely agree with her. She said, the thing that makes the difference between human and animal is that morality stuff. I would suggest that you call a vet. Folks, there is more involved than just a feeling. There is more involved than just talking about love. It includes action, and it includes action that is governed by the laws of God. Let's listen to some other passages that are written in red. John the 14th chapter, verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Jesus must have thought this somewhat important to say three times here, from verse 15 to verse 23, three times, that love has to do with keeping the commandments of God. How can we claim to love God and not keep His commandments? How can we claim to love one another and not have respect for one another? And then in the 15th chapter, where we normally remember verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, than that he lay down his life for his friends, listen to verse 9 and verse 10, John 15. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I keep my Father's commandments and abide in His love. It's interesting to see the emphasis that Jesus places upon love and the explanation that He gives for what true love is. And every passage we've read this morning on the subject of love is written in red. This is the teaching of Jesus. But folks, He teaches us about love just as much as any other part of the Bible does. He says you need to understand how great God's love is for you. And you need to understand how you ought to love God and how you ought to love your fellow man. And in order to do this, you need to put in focus that there is a type of love for your enemy There's another type of love for your neighbor, for your family, for your Christian brothers and sisters, and the greatest love is that love that you're to have for God. But he says in all of this, you need to realize that there's more than just a feeling. There's more than just an emotion. It involves respecting the commandments of God and keeping those commandments. It may very well be that the three most important words in the English language are, I love you. But folks, it is the action which is prompted by that feeling that people understand. And it is that action that God demands. How can a person who truly believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God claim to love God if he just sits back and will not become a Christian? Knowing the need of repentance and being baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, how can you say, I love God, I love Christ, and hold back from doing that? And if you are a child of God and you have not been faithful in worship and service, if you were asked today, do you love God, you'd say yes. If you were asked, do you love Christ, you'd say yes. But do you really? Jesus said love is understood in the action which it produces. Perhaps there is some love today that needs to produce response to the invitation of Christ as together we stand and sing.
Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have a Lord my side. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, he is the just one, he hath the words of life. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
Be seated, please.
Brother Larry Gillum, one of our elders, will you come and be ready to lead us in a word of prayer? Weldon Williams has expressed his desire to place membership with the congregation. Weldon, would you stand over here? Weldon has moved into our area and plans to be worshiping with us. And Brother Larry Gillum, one of our elders, will lead us in prayer. Brother Weldon Williams.
Let us pray. Lord, we are so thankful that